Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfuphi on Kaya 959. Careers Corner on Kaya Biz.
Indeed, and this is where we want you to get talking, because so often when we advance within our careers, looking at new career opportunities that might develop and even growing by developing and investing in ourselves, we often want to make sure that the value that we bring to the table is represented in our pay slip. So what does this mean for you specifically when it comes to how you negotiate your salary? It's a pain point and a bugbear for many South Africans, especially in the current working climate where finding a job is not only challenging, but of course, there's certain requirements at times that are often asked of you, like sharing your previous pay slip before sharing your remuneration expectations with the company. But to hold our hands and guide us into this particular dynamic that we are keen to explore, we joined on the line by Nomazibulo Changa. She's a qualified leadership and career coach. She's also the co-founder and managing director of Ziana Business Consulting and Training, and she'll be our career coach for the month of September, helping us with some of these key themes that we know many of us as South Africans tend to struggle with. Sis Noma, such a pleasure to have you on Kaya Biz. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Gugu, and good evening to the Kaya Biz listeners, and thank you for having me.
Indeed. I must say we're quite excited to speak to you because we all know some way, somehow we love money, right?
And
we
I know, right?
Exactly. And we hope that the jobs that we do and the work that we do actually translates into good money and value that we can substantiate. And I think maybe that leads us to our first question, to really evaluate what constitutes great or positive salary negotiations between an employer and employee. Who needs to take the lead, I guess?
Thank you, Gugu. So what constitutes a salary negotiation between the employer and the employee? In most cases, is that the employee feels that they are underpaid and the employee feels that they are doing more than what is required and more than their colleagues. And in some cases, or in most cases, the employee feels that they are generating revenue for the organization, but they're not filling it into their pocket. So that's what constitutes a salary negotiation. And sometimes on the employer side, the employer feels that it's that time of the year where they need to review salaries and they need to be on the table with labor to check what are the markets, how is the economy doing, what's the inflation doing, how do we sit around the table and ensure that we pay equitable salaries to our employees. So that's what constitutes salary negotiations between the employer and the employee.
You're quite right. Sometimes it can be a very uncomfortable conversation to have, especially for us as employees, right? Because you need to substantiate your value. And I'm keen from there to actually understand what we should be considering as employees when we go into a salary review or salary meeting in terms of the negotiation. How do I need to empower myself as Ukuku to make sure that I get my money's worth, if I can put it that way?
So it's important for the employee to know the level of the job within the organizational structure. So as we know that the organizational structure starts from an unskilled level and ends up being at a top level. So an employee needs to understand where do they fit into the organization's structure and what level are they in within that structure. And also they also need to consider the scarcity of the skill that they occupy. Mm-hmm. So if you are an IT technician that is required and we know that that type of skill as a developer is not freely available in the market, it's scarce, then that's what you put on the table when you negotiate a salary. You look at the scarcity of the skill. You also look at the career progression and the experience that you bring into the table, but you also need to be cognizant about the market value of the job. And when I say the market value of the job, what is the job paying out there? And in terms of considering the salary, benchmarking, etc., look at the economic conditions. But the key important thing is to look at what value are you adding into the organization or into the position that you're occupying, and what's your competitive advantage as an employee? So meaning what differentiates you from the rest of the other employees occupying exactly the same position.
And that's a valid point there, Sis Noma. You mentioned the scarcity of the skill, you mentioned experience as well as market value, but I'm keen for us to deep dive into the competitiveness, because so often if we're comparing Ukuku no Putzkumbuzo in the morning, there are various things that we need to bring to the table, right? And I'm keen to understand how I, as an employee, make sure that when I compare myself to some of my peers in the market, how do I do so to make sure that my value is really acknowledged, that I actually do make make a difference. And I'm assuming this is not something you prepare the night before the meeting, but it's actually building up, I guess, a file and a case to substantiate the value and competitiveness you bring to the table.
Yes. So you must be able to show your present, your past value. Yes. So if you are able to show your employer what you have added value on, and the revenue that you've generated for the company, the deals that you brought into the business, or what the value that you brought, has it translated to revenue? Because that's what organizations want to see. So once you are able to generate all of that and pull all that evidence together, you will be able to show that this is the value that I've added, this is how it has a translated cost, and this is the revenue that it has brought, or this is how it has kept certain customers coming in for more into the organization. But also be cognizant of the fact that there's a new legislation that talks about equal pay for work of equal value. So as much as you are able to put your point across in terms of the value that you're bringing, but you must be cognizant that you cannot be paid outside a pay scale, but there's a certain process that an employer has to undergo in order to identify what that pay scale looks like.
Aha, that's a very valid point, especially for those who work within more structured organizations, as you say, where there's a pay grade or the pay scale that's actually implemented for the kind of job that you have. If you've just joined us, get your notebooks out. We are speaking to Usisinoma Zibulo Tshanga. She is a qualified leadership and career coach. She's also the co-founder and managing director of Ziana Business Consulting and Training. And she's really helping us this month in our Careers Corner feature, where we start off our first conversation for this month on how to negotiate your salary. A very tough one, especially because we are approaching perhaps that time of the year where KPIs and other elements will be reached and maybe salary negotiations will be taking place. And if not, we're also trying to empower you to make sure that when that time does come around, that you are quite clear on how you substantiate the value that you're able to bring to the table. Specifically for someone who's been in their current place of employment and looking to increase their salary, but also for anyone who might be approaching a new job and how to actually negotiate a salary increase from there or voice your salary expectations. You'd feel free to dial in on 086-000-959 should you have any questions for us. But Sis Norma, as we continue with this conversation, I'm also keen to shift it to individuals who might be seeking employment. We're well aware that for many, when you look for a job, I've even fallen into that trap where they ask you for your pay slip, right? Current pay slip when going into a new job. And we're well aware that that's quite a pertinent trend that happens in South Africa. Perhaps help us understand that and how to manage that particular situation, but also how impromptu, if I'm caught on the spot during an interview, virtually or in person, when I'm actually asked about the salary expectations that I have by a prospective employer. How does one need to prepare to respond to that tricky question?
It's important for the candidate looking for the opportunity to understand the organization that they're looking at this opportunity, and also to understand the industry with which that organization is operating in, so as to understand the pay scale of that industry. But when it comes to employers asking candidates for salary expectation, it is a fair question and it is a legal question. This is just to manage salary expectation between both parties, that is the employer and the employee, considering that this is although not used as a sole decision factor to grant a certain salary for that position. Like I said, there is a certain process that employers need to follow in order for them to get to a certain pay scale of that position. So it is fair, it is legal to manage expectations, but however, it should not be used as a sole decision factor to grant a certain salary.
And if I want to put on, you know, just an extra 10%, 15 nyana, is normal. Am I allowed to? How do I approach that conversation?
Yes, you are allowed to put in an extra 10-15%, especially now. I think one of the important tools to use when you negotiate for salary is the inflation. So look at the inflation, where the inflation is, and look at your salary and see if it really meets where your experience and expertise are. It really meets the inflation in terms of where the salary band should be. So look at the inflation and really be honest and open and have a transparent conversation with the employer or the potential employer to say, looking at the inflation, looking how things are expensive, looking at these consequences. So it leads me then to request for an additional 10% over and above that. And when I look at my past, when you look at my past through my CV, my experience, you can see the value that I've added from the previous positions or previous organizations that I have been employed by. So that can also be used as a tool.
Very valid point there, Sis Norma, making sure you go going empowered with information about inflation rates and substantiating the increase that you actually want on the new salary you'd like to have from a new employer. Sis Noma, what about when we decide to actually change the roles, right, and be the ones in the power, I guess, of in position of power, where I ask my new and potential employer as to what they actually are willing to pay someone in that particular capacity or the role that they'd like to slot me in? I guess, is it a fair question to ask, firstly, in an interview? And secondly, can you always ask what the person who was previously in that role actually earned, and if you'd like to compare those kind of salaries?
So it is a fair question, and it is a legal question. But I would advise the candidates not to ask what the previous incumbent was getting paid, because in some instances, you may find that the previous incumbent was actually getting paid less than what you had expected for that role. So you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot by asking about the previous one. So when you negotiate for salaries and when you're looking at salary matters, we need to look at the individual and the position that you are fulfilling. So you don't need to be looking at what or compare your salary to that of a colleague, or, you know, everything must be, you must be able to quantify why you need a certain salary. So I think that question, for me, I would advise candidates not to ask, but you can ask about what the position, what's the salary scale of that position, so that you are able to gauge whether you do have the appetite to take up this position based on where your current salary is and without being detrimental to your circumstances when it comes to cost.
Sis Noma, sometimes we'd like to be a bit nosy, right, and preemptive. I know I'm one of those. I've often called previous counterparts and even male counterparts to say, hey, that particular role, how much did you get paid for it? Because I'm coming in as a woman and as a woman of color, I want to negotiate at the same scale. Is that something that we can do in terms of research and also use that within the interview?
Definitely. When it comes to research, research is very important when you're going into an interview, and you research about the role, you research about the organization, you research about the industry, you even research about the salary or the salary scale of that position. So that's very important. I wouldn't discount that. I think it's very important and it's part of the research.
Definitely. Okay. So we're open to calling up friends and just asking them, yeah, offer me some guidelines there. Sis Noma, something else that's quite interesting in terms of the climate we live in. We know we've been hit by the pandemic. The economy is not doing well. Businesses are struggling to make money. And sometimes there might be other incentives that are offered in terms of payment. And I guess this might add to the value in terms of the remuneration package. But sometimes it's not what we might want or understand. But help us distill what forms part of a remuneration package as to how companies can actually pay you as a staff member.
When it comes to employers paying their staff member, they need to look at the knowledge and the skill of that staff member. They need to look at whether the position requires a certain level of judgment and decision making within the organization. They also need to look at the accountability of the position in the structure. They need to look at the impact of that position in the structure. They need to look at the complexity and the problem solving, the pressure of the job, the precision of the job. So there's a couple of things that one needs to look at. But it's very important for organization to have a total reward strategy, and other organizations call it a REM strategy, a remuneration strategy. Mm-hmm. So that's important, because that then gives an idea of how do we as organization A, pay our salary, and of course considering the market related stats in terms of the pay curve, market data across the industries, within the industries, the midpoint pay scale within those industries. But there are three common or three types of compensation that is commonly used in South Africa on a yearly basis. That's what we call a performance bonus, where this is strictly based on the performance of the organization. And there's what we call salary increases, which is called yearly salary increases. It normally happens in most organizations between June and July. As you cited, that most organizations are go into that phase of salary negotiation. So that's strictly based on the inflationary increase. So as an example, if the inflation was 7%, then the employer is required to look at the inflationary increase and not pay their employees or their staff less than the inflationary rate. So that's called the yearly salary increase. Then then there's a performance bonus. Then the last one is looking at the full salary and evaluating and benchmarking it against the industry salary to look at if your salary is in that organization are market related, and can you use that data? Because sometimes data is lies and data needs to be checked on a yearly basis. So other organizations that are very proactive when it comes to their REM strategy, they do look at the market data on a yearly basis and they try to align the salaries of the employees according to the market related salaries and the pay scales that are out in the market.
And that's important that you mention that, because it does primarily speak to people and those who are in a permanent employment, right, who have the luxury of those packages. But very briefly, Sis Noma, for someone who might have moved from a permanent contract to fixed term, or maybe is working on an independent contract, should we manage these negotiations in a similar fashion, or are there elements we need to be mindful of, as there isn't a remuneration package? Cost to company, cost to company, ka? How do we manage that?
Yes. It's very tricky. You know, legislation is very tricky when it comes to independent contractors, because independent contractors manage their own time and manage their own output. So it is very important when you go into an independent contract or agreement, you then state your rate per hour. And your rate per hour must be defined by the professional services consultation rate per hour, which is available. I think it's available for the public. There's a professional fees consultation rate per hour for independent contractors. So it's very important that you look at what the rate per hour in your level, in your industry, so that you are able not to shoot yourself in the foot.
Yes.
So the rate per hour then becomes important, because you manage your time, you manage the deliverables, you manage the output. So it comes to it's kind of different than you going into a permanent employment where the employer is then managing your time, managing your output, and giving you your deliverables, etc.
Definitely. Important lessons for us to be mindful of, especially as things do change in this environment in South Africa. Sis Noma, let's come to the interesting part of the outcomes of the negotiation, and that's where you're not happy, the employer has limited space to move. How do you move forward? Is it fair for me to actually say, look, I'm not happy with this offer, but because I need the job, I'll stay, but I'm hoping that we can change these numbers in 6 months or a year's time. Is that legal? Is it valid? And does it hold any water in terms of a verbal agreement?
It does hold water. So that's why it's important for you as an employee as well to understand the total remuneration strategy of your organization that you're working with. Those should be available within your HR department, etc., or within your line manager, where they can share with you how the pay structure looks like, where do you fall within the band, and what is your movement. Because there's a pay strategy that's called a hay group, where you've got band A, B, C, D, and E. So where do you fall in that? And are you paid in a lower quartile of that band? Are you paid in a medium quartile of that band? Are you paid in a higher quartile of that band? If you are paid within the lower level of that band, what is it? So the manager must be able to advise you what is it that you can do to get into the medium quartile of the band that you're occupying. And if you are sitting at the top level of that band, how do you move over from one level band to another level, which is progressive? What are the things that you need to do and put in place? And that can be found and actually described nicely in your performance contract. So your performance contract is then the one that's going to guide you to say, the over and above the job description, which is the job that I'm occupying and doing and getting paid for every day, based off and above that, the performance deliverables and KPAs and KPIs, what are those KPIs? So if I deliver or exceed on my KPIs, what is it that I'm able to get? So you can use that as a tool to negotiate your salary, or maybe look at negotiating your total cost to company, where you're saying, okay, maybe the salary is not feasible for now when we look at the affordability from the employer's point of view, but can we look at a commission structure of and above the base salary? Can we look at a pay per project type of compensation, where if I deliver exceptionally for this project, then I get a certain percentage of that, of whatever the cost is, however it's calculated. So there's ways one can look at negotiating a salary without touching the base, but looking at other total remuneration that can make up a package.
Sure. Sis Norma, you've really empowered us here today to think outside of the box, quite literally, as you say, descriptive actions and outcomes in terms of your KPIs, but also looking at alternative sources of income and revenue, pay per project, certain percentages and elements that can definitely add value. Sis Norma, thank you so much for your time this evening. Such a pleasure engaging and learning from you. I'm looking forward to the next couple of Mondays here in September with you.
Thank you for having me. And I'm so looking forward to engaging you the full month of September.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Sis Norma. We really appreciate the insights you've shared with us, and we'll be sure to upload this podcast later this evening to make sure that if any of you missed out on some of the nuggets that Sis Norma Zibulo shared, you can definitely gain some insight. But today, our conversation has been about how to negotiate your salary. And ladies, this is definitely one for you, making sure that you are able to substantiate the value that you have, being aware of the scarcity of the skill that you hold and how that actually speaks to the competitiveness that you bring to the table. As also mentioned by Sis Norma, if you are dissatisfied and there's minimal movement between yourself as well as your employer, make sure that you do find alternative means of increasing your cost to company or being paid for certain projects that you bring about. But you need to substantiate your value and the revenue that you actually bring about to the company you serve. That was Sis Norma Zibulo Changa. She is a qualified leadership and career coach, co-founder and managing director of Ziana Business Consulting and Training. You can also find her on social media at Norma Zibulo Changa for further details.
Careers Corner on Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.